Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. In Matthew chapter 13. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please sit. We should have had a guest speaker this morning. Gareth from Care for the Family was unfortunately taken unwell yesterday, letting me know yesterday evening. So at the last minute, you've got me. So I make no apologies for what I've prepared this morning, because anyone leading a church has to be able to be extremely adaptable, often at the last minute, and that includes being called upon to preach. So what I've prepared is, after a period of prayer, and I pray I may now speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So Jesus, as we know, gave a lot of his instructions as parables, broken down as a really simple explanation. Think of a parable as a word picture. It helps to describe something in a way we might be able to relate to or easily understand. And I don't care how clever even the greatest Oxford and Cambridge academics are, I bet they like simple explanations as much as I do. Mustard seeds, I get, but I've never tried to grow mustard. Mustard seeds are small and insignificant. Put them in the ground, give them the right amount of light, water, and nutrition in the soil, and bang, at some point, you get a mustard plant. Job done. Simple as that. A few weeks ago, when we had Rebecca on emergency foster placement with us, one of her great delights was watering the back garden in the evening. And if you've not seen it recently, it's looking a bit different to how it might have been over the last few years. Helped by some friends of ours, we've liberated the raspberry canes. We've given the greenhouse yet another lease of life. Barry Wilson is amazed that it's still going. And we've even started growing a lot of our own vegetables. But anyway, Rebecca enjoyed watering it most evenings, but unfortunately she moved on before she could enjoy the results of her efforts. And I wonder if wherever she is now, she ever stops and thinks about what happened to all the vegetables she put so much time into watering. Because you can't plant a seed and expect a plant to grow straight away. It just doesn't happen like that. because growing things takes time and patience. And all of those images Jesus used to make a point, whether it was mustard seeds, treasure, pearls, fishing nets, all of these things would have been so familiar to people. The imagery is there. If you've got a treasure or a pearl hidden in your house and you lost them, or if you found them in a field, you'd do everything you could to either find them again or buy the field so that you could have the pearl. Seeds and fishing nets would have been the stuff of everyday life. So Jesus implies that the kingdom of heaven is in our midst, but as well as using everyday imagery, he's also implying that the kingdom of heaven is something we've got to work for. A lot of our time is spent waiting on God to act. That often leads us to be discouraged in our prayers because God doesn't always seem to act right now as we want God to do. But waiting can bring wisdom. While we're waiting for God to act in a particular situation, are we taking the time to look at the other things that God is doing at the same time? Sometimes the kingdom of heaven is going to be found in completely unexpected places. We may think in life that at times we've got everything sewn up, we've found our comfortable spots, we've worked hard for what we've achieved, and we feel that if everything is going the way we want it to, then why should something happen to upset the status quo? But have you ever thought that if God is acting in a way that we don't want or expect God to act, or if something changes in our life in a way that seems to inconvenience us, have you ever thought that maybe when things start to go the way we don't want them to go, then that's a point we should stop and wait for God's Holy Spirit to do its work? After all, God acts in ways in which we don't always expect God to do so. Who are we to challenge the work of the Holy Spirit if the Spirit is doing something different? In our first reading today, Jacob is an example of good things come to those who wait. He goes to Laban to find a wife, but instead he finds himself working for 7 years and then another 7. First of all, he unexpectedly ends up with Leah, and then finally with Rebecca, who is his true love. Jesus talks about the mustard seed growing into a tree. That's a process that takes months before you've got a plant and years before the plant is fully grown. In our society, quick answers can be offered through searching for something on the internet or buying a product designed to fix a problem we might have. But deep down, things are often much more complicated. If we trust in God's presence in our lives, if we trust in God working in the everyday, even if it's in unexpected ways, we're trusting God to help us get through the complicated situations that we might. Things may not be as solved as quickly as we'd like. Things may not be solved by God in the ways we want or expect, but we can trust that God will work in God's own time and for our good. So in that story from Genesis, who is it you identify with most? Is it with Jacob, who worked doggedly for the 7 years? Is it with Laban, father of 2 daughters who had Jacob working on his land? Is it with Leah, or is it with Rebecca? With Jacob as the main character, we followed him from his father's house. It's tempting to see Jacob as the one being cheated, with the wrong daughter being brought to him after the feast. Suddenly, Jacob's got to work for an extra 7 years to earn the hand of the one he truly loves. But Laban explains his deceit by explaining that if Jacob had married the one he really wanted before Leah, Leah would be seen by other people as being rejected or spoiled. It was culturally unheard of for for the younger daughter to be married before the older one. Laban's deception preserves Leah's dignity. It gives her hope of a life with purpose and financial security. Laban obscured the truth of his daughter's identity at the wedding feast, but he did that in order to gain justice for her. Standing up for justice can feel like a messy subject. Throughout the years, we've read about civil disobedience. It's often been put forward as an appropriate response to unfair structures in society. Yet, if civil disobedience is taken, that can cause worry and raise questions of who it is okay to inconvenience. For example, environmental activists have come under a lot of criticism for blocking roads that can stop ambulances from getting through to emergencies or back to hospitals. But God calls us also to work against injustice. When it's complicated and messy, we're more aware of needing the Spirit's guiding to help us to navigate the right action. Perhaps we should start by reflecting on the situations we're involved in to make sure that we're not unthinkingly perpetuating injustice on others, and instead ask for God's guidance on how we should respond. So if God is working in the unexpected situations and in the places where, God forbid, we don't want God to work, we shouldn't be trying to elbow the work of the Spirit out of the way. If we do that, we're giving God no room to work. Surely, we should always take second place to God in our actions and allow the Spirit to do its work. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.